Let me tell you something. I'm done with these high food prices. You hear me? D-O-W-N. Done.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look from my life and realize there's nothing left. Cause I've been blasting and laughing so long that
I bought a cow and a chicken. Yep. Bought a cow and a chicken right off Amazon. Got them tied up in the driveway. I'm getting my own milk, my own eggs. That's all you need. You can make anything. Grow some sugar cane. You're all set. Milk, eggs, and sugar. That's the ingredients for everything. I can grow some potatoes, make French fries, hamburgers. That's all I need. I could eat hamburgers and French fries every day. I'll get the meat for the hamburgers from the cow, obviously. Are you even listening to what I'm telling you?
Look at the situation they got me facing. I can't live a normal life.
An average cow can still produce milk with up to 75% of its body missing. I read that on Facebook, so it's got to be true.
I'm an educated fool with money on my mind. Got my tan in my hand and the gleam in my eye. I'm a looked out gangster, set tripping banger. And my homies is down, so don't arouse my anger. Fool, death ain't nothing but a heartbeat of what I'm living like. Do or die, what can I say?
I got to stop fooling around. I really do. Because I have so much information. This is why the show always runs long. I'm sorry. Welcome to the Comparison Group podcast. Oh, finally, this guy decided to put out another episode. Today is October 7th, 2022, Friday. Almost time for the midterm elections, which means it's time for people to start saying, man, I wish we had a third party. I wish there was a third choice. And I realized last year, I said, at the end of the year, I said I would be talking about starting a third party this year. Well, here it is, October, and I'm just now getting around to it. Why? I have no explanation. Before I talk about starting a third party, I'm thinking to myself now, do I want to get into Herschel Walker? Do I want to get into Governor Greg Abbott before or after talking about starting a third party? I know there are people, I want to respect them because they clicked on the show, because they saw the title, and they want to hear about starting a third party. You know what I'll do? I'll do it quickly, very quickly. Give me 2 minutes. I'll just say a lot less than what I intended on saying. I'll save it for another show, but I do want to mention it because it's topical in the news. And I said I was going to talk about Greg Abbott and his busing migrants around the country last episode. But first on Herschel Walker, here's all I'll say. You probably know the story with him. All kinds of nuttiness has been revealed about him since he decided to run for Senate. His own son said every family member begged him not to run because they knew all of this dirty laundry was going to come out. So now it appears it's alleged that he paid for an abortion for an old girlfriend while being pro-life. So he's a hypocrite, so on, so on, so on. All I'll say is this. You know what the answer is going to be. You know what the answer is going to be. I can't believe there are still people out there going, oh, we got him now. We got him now. How's he going to wiggle out of this one? What are his supporters going to say now? You know what they're going to say. What are they going to say? Think about it. Some will abandon him. This will be the last straw for some people. But most people will say, I don't care what he did before he ran for Senate. I don't care what he did before he becomes a senator, if he does somehow win the election. That's what they'll say. I don't care what he did in his personal life before, prior. That was his personal life. It was before he became a candidate. I don't care. That's what they said for Trump. When they could no longer make excuses, when they could no longer deny, 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 and they just finally accepted that he was paying off women, they said, well, hey, listen, I don't care what he did before he became president. That's his personal life. And oh, by the way, I elected a president, not a pastor, or whatever it was they said. That's what they'll say for Herschel Walker. That's all. On Governor Greg Abbott of Texas busing migrants around the country. My honest opinion, if Greg Abbott had done this in a different way, if he hadn't tried to be so vindictive and make it so political, if he had said, look, people who don't live on these border states don't understand what we have to deal with on a mass scale. Let me give you an example of what we have to deal with. And it's not just Democrats that have failed to solve the problem of the border. It's Republicans that have also failed to get together and solve the problem at the border. So I'm going to bus these migrants to red states, to blue states, because it's everyone. It's everyone who had failed. If he had done that, I might have said, you know what? I get the point. I still probably wouldn't have agreed with it because these are human beings, but I would have said, I get the point. Now, here's what really blew my mind about Greg Abbott that I didn't know, and maybe everyone else is in on this, and I just didn't know it because I don't follow Greg Abbott or Texas politics. When Greg Abbott was attorney general over 10 years ago in Texas, he was on the complete opposite side of this issue. The complete opposite side. He was a champion for immigrants. He was a protector for immigrants coming to this country. But then everything flipped. It's very interesting. I have an article. I'm not going to get into it because, again, I'm trying to save time and do this quickly. But I have an article. I'll post it to the website, www.thecomparisongroup.com, and maybe we'll talk about it in the future. But it talks about how when Greg Abbott was Attorney General of Texas back around 2005 or so, he took the complete opposite position. Why? Because Republican businesses, or probably businesses in general in Texas, were happy to get that labor, happy to get that cheap labor coming across the border. But then somebody by the name of Barack Obama came along, and everything kind of changed. It became an issue. The border became a big issue to go after Obama about. And so suddenly what was kind of, we want these people coming across the border, they're cheap labor, you had some xenophobia rear its ugly head. It's very interesting. I'll post the article. I'm telling you, it'll blow your mind if you don't know anything about this story. When Greg Abbott was Attorney General of Texas, forget about Sanctuary City. He had essentially turned Texas into a sanctuary state for undocumented immigrants. Okay, I'm sorry. I know that was a little longer than 2 minutes, probably closer to 4 minutes. But let's get started with the third party. Let me explain this first. This is part one. All right. This is just a start of a conversation, of a discussion. If you think I can sum up how to start a third party in the next half hour, well, you would be incorrect. Second, let me also explain, I don't necessarily see talking about starting a third party as a discussion of how it should differ from Republican platforms or Democratic platforms. I think that's what most people do when they talk about starting a third party. They look at the positions on the main issues of the two parties and say, okay, how should we be different? How can we be different on defense spending? How can we be different on immigration policy? How can we be different on taxation? I don't see it that way. To me, to start a third party, you have to start by establishing your doctrine. What are your principles? Having nothing at all to do with policy, all right? Nothing to do with policy. Having nothing to do with your stance on abortion, on guns, on the role of government. I need to establish principles that are expected, that are demanded of a third party. They would form the bedrock of your party's identity, so they are non-negotiable. So I'll list for you what I consider to be some third party principles. These aren't in any particular order. I just jotted them down as they came to me when I set my mind to thinking about this. Okay, so here we go. Third party principles. Number one. Oh, and some of these principles apply to elected officials or candidates and some to third party voters. All right. Number one, if you're looking for a doctor, what's the most important characteristic you want? Maybe knowledge, experience. All right. If you're looking for an artist to paint you a portrait, you're looking for maybe talent. If you're looking for a financial planner, again, you want knowledge, honesty, someone to paint your house. You want someone who's hardworking, reliable, give you a fair price. You can just keep on going down the list of occupations. And tell me, when does personality come in? When is personality the one characteristic that you're looking for in an occupation? Not many, not very many. So why do we seem to put so much stock in personality when it comes to electing people? Elections have become a personality contest. Who would you like to have a beer with? Oh, she gets me. She just gets me. He says what I'm thinking. I don't like her. She's too stiff. So, number one third party principle, I don't care if you have the personality of a can of tomato soup. Can you do the job? That's all I care about. Can you do the job? Politics has become like singing. It used to be the number one thing you needed to be a professional singer is to be able to sing. Not anymore. Number two. Okay, in our third party, when you get elected to office, that's your job. You can't be a politician slash owner of a farm. You can't be a politician slash author. You want to get paid to write a book? Quit. You should be too busy doing the country's business to write a book. You can't be a politician slash stock market investor. And this is a bipartisan problem, both Republicans and Democrats. Paul Ryan, when he was Speaker of the House, he came under fire for it. Now so has Nancy Pelosi. She says she doesn't want to deny her members the right to invest in the stock market. Here's what she said.
Because this is a free market and people, we are a free market economy. They should be able to participate in that.
I cut the beginning of the questioning out because you couldn't really hear it. There was no microphone for the reporter. She's in a press conference. But I asked her, should members of Congress and their spouses be banned from investing? You heard her answer. And like I said, this is a bipartisan issue, both Democrats and Republicans. But Nancy Pelosi herself has come under a lot of fire for her investing and her husband's investing in the stock market. They both seem to always guess right, if you know what I mean. So third party principle, you can invest. You can invest your time in doing that job. Third party principle number three, our members won't be giving themselves raises, sneaking it into some spending bill at midnight. What's that all about? Employers give raises. They work for us. When Congress gives itself a raise, they all get it, even the useless good-for-nothing members. And you know who they are. No, we need to figure a way to determine raises among elected officials. Cost of living went up. We need to give ourselves a raise. Okay, cost of living is up. Should we increase the federal minimum wage? Let's leave it up to the states. Okay, let's leave your raise up to the voters of your state, up to the voters of your district. Let's do it that way. Let's let them decide whether or not you deserve a raise. You might get reelected, but I bet you won't get a raise. Number four, we have to have a third party media. I repeat, we have to have a third party media. We can't have third party voters, third party politicians without a third party source of information. Now, I don't know what you think that's supposed to look like, but I think it's supposed to kind of sort of look like what I'm trying to do here. Present information, some of which you'll agree with, some of which you won't. I can't figure for the life of me why people think a good source of information is one you enjoy. You hear people, I love Joanne Reed. She goes after those Trump supporters. Or I love Tucker Carlson. He owns the libs. A good source of information is a good source of information. It can be opinion. I'm open to hearing opinions. It can have some spin. It's politics. There's got to be spin. You just have to kind of put up with some things in third-party media that you're not going to agree with because you have to give it your ears and eyeballs. If you don't, it won't exist. No one's going to invest in third-party media if they can't make money at it. Sorry. Number five, third-party principle. Ooh, this is a big one for me. Worse is not better. Okay? Worse is not better. This is fundamental to me for a third party. MSNBC is biased. Oh, yeah? Fox is way worse. Biden is spending way too much on social programs. Oh, yeah? Trump spent trillions on a tax cut. Crime is way up under Biden. Oh, yeah? It was way worse in the 80s. This drives me crazy. How does one thing excuse the other? Because it's supposedly worse. It doesn't. Yet every politician does it. Every member of the media lets them get away with doing it. They're asked a direct question about something that they've done or something they're proposing. And the answer is, yeah, but the other side's worse. And we let them get away with it. Worse is not better. In our third party, you're going to address the issue directly, not deflect it with a, yeah, but they're worse. Number six, calling other people stupid doesn't make you smart. I can't do this show assuming that people who are going to disagree with me, well, they just must be idiots if they don't see things the way I see things. I would have to see evidence that somebody's an idiot before I call them an idiot. Once they open their mouth, I go, oh, okay, you're an idiot. It needs to need evidence. You just can't paint people who disagree with you as stupid or as idiots. Now, there are plenty of idiots out there right now in the country. Let's not kid ourselves. They're in every party, and worse is not better. So don't say, oh, yeah, but there's more in that party. No, worse is not better. So don't pat yourself on the back for being a lesser idiot. But this principle is important because it underlies so much of our media and social media. A constant tearing down of the other, calling them idiots, libtards, trumpets, whatever name, all to make ourselves feel better, feel smarter. Calling other people stupid doesn't make you smarter. You want to be smart? Be well informed. Third party principle number seven. My third party politicians are going to have to pick it up a bit on the work schedule. All right? In the work schedule department. Our Congress works about half the year on average. All right? Back in 2007, Congress, 164 days. 2009, 119 days. 2012, 175 days. 2013, 153 days. 17, 131 days. 2021, 163 days. You see? They haven't cracked 200 days in a decade, in decades. There are 365 days in a year. I want you working 300 in Washington, in your office, talking to constituents, in committee, working on bills, on the floor, debating bills, passing bills. Oh, but we work back at our districts too. When we're on recess, we're still working. Yeah, I said 300 days. That leaves you 65 days over 2 months, 8 weeks spread out throughout the year to work back in your states and districts. I'll let you go ahead and pick your 5 days off. Number eight, I'm probably going to give you this one and then two more. I'll go to 10. I think I jotted down about 20 or 25, but based on the time, give you a couple of more. All right. So number eight, third party principle. And this is going to be a tough one. This is going to be a tough one for some people. I'm open to any discussion on this. Anyone who disagrees with me on this. All the compassion in the world doesn't make a bad idea a good idea. We should all have limitless compassion and empathy for people who are struggling. But we cannot let that push us into bad decisions or bad ideas. All right? Listen to this clip about an idea to house homeless people in vacant hotel rooms in L.A. New York has something similar, kind of either they've done or they're considering doing. But listen to this clip about housing homeless people in vacant hotel rooms in L.A.
The proposal would require hotels to rent vacant rooms to homeless people. These are people that have nowhere else to go.
If passed into law, this would allow thousands of homeless men and women to live alongside guests in the hundreds of hotels across the city, like the one you see right here behind me. It's a model that's been attempted in other cities across the U.S. and has often faced unanimous backlash.
And it's now up to voters to decide if Los Angeles's homeless population will have a place to stay every night in hotels across the city. The measure would require active hotels to regularly report vacant rooms every day by 2 p.m. And owners would be prohibited from discriminating against unhoused men and women who present them prepaid vouchers. It's an experiment that's been attempted in cities like Austin, Texas, and Seattle, Washington. Hotel owners and operators packed the council chamber last week, arguing the proposal would be dangerous and destructive to their business model.
We have no economic data. What it will cost the city. If someone goes into a hotel room the city is going to pay for it, and we don't know what that rate will be. If someone doesn't leave the hotel room, the city continues to pay for it. There is no funding source. Hotels did not cause the homeless problem. Hotels are not the solution for the homeless problem.
The Hospitality Worker Union, Unite Here Local 11, backed the measure, getting enough signatures to place it on the ballot.
We have thousands of members facing eviction today. We have members who have lost their housing because they are fleeing an abusive spouse. We have members living out of their cars or trucks.
Play that one little part again from the Hospitality's Union representative. Just play that.
The Hospitality Worker Union, Unite Here Local 11, backed the measure, getting enough signatures to place it on the ballot.
We have thousands of members facing eviction today. We have members who have lost their housing because they are fleeing an abusive spouse. We have members living out of their cars or trucks.
So there you have it. The compassion. You hear her, her members, some of them sleeping in their cars, some of them fleeing an abusive spouse. We get that. Any reasonable person, any person with any amount of empathy gets that. We need to have compassion for people, but we can't force that into making us make bad decisions or come up with bad ideas. I think this is an important principle because this is the impotence, if that's the right word, not impotent, impotence, whatever. This is the reason for a lot of legislation that's put forth today. Compassion. We have to be compassionate. We have to help people. We do, but not with bad ideas. And you heard some of the practical reasons that some of the people in that clip were giving for this being a bad idea. What if you can't get the people out of the rooms the next day? They don't want to leave. I wouldn't want to leave. Put me in a nice hotel room. I wouldn't want to leave. So now the police got to be called. What if the people trash the rooms? You couldn't see it, but as the one gentleman was speaking, he was showing pictures of hotel rooms that had been trashed by homeless people because, unfortunately, some of them are mentally ill. The city, the taxpayer, will have to bear the brunt of that. What, are you going to get the money from the homeless person? And as I understand it, unless they've changed it, this is all hotels in the city of Los Angeles from 5-star on down will be required to report their vacant rooms. And if a homeless person shows up with a voucher provided by the city, they must be given a room. And if you think it makes people bad people to say, oh, no, 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 this is a bad idea. I don't want to pay for a room that has a homeless person staying next to me. Well, then you do it. When you show up to the hotel and you pay your $500 a night at the nice hotel, tell them you don't have a problem with this plan. Put me in a room next to a homeless person. Put me and my kids in a room next to a homeless person. You do it. And don't say, oh, you should be ashamed of yourself. A lot of the homeless are veterans. They're veterans. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't use the veterans that way. Don't try and guilt people into bad ideas. I need third-party politicians that solve problems in a practical, sensible, pragmatic way with compassion. That's all. Third-party principle number 9. I need politicians who are willing to tell their supporters when they are wrong. We have a group of politicians now that are scared to death to offend in any way their base. We can't have that. Politicians have to be honest. They have to have the guts to tell even the most loyal supporters, most reliable voters, when they're wrong. You support unions? You support labor? That's fine. But you can't announce 2 weeks in advance, hey, we're going on strike on Friday between 12 noon and 4 p.m. Then we'll be back to work. That's not a strike. That's just people deciding not to go to work for a few hours. So if a business fires you when you do that, you can't call it union busting. You're either on strike or you're not. You can't go on strike when you feel like it and then come back to work when you feel like it. In my opinion. So even the people who support the collective bargaining movement have to be willing to tell their base that. Also, you can't call COVID a hoax or call it the flu, say the vaccine is a money grab, and then ridicule Joe Biden when he says COVID is over. Some people thought COVID never existed. So there are some people out there who, Republican politicians in particular, may have to tell their constituents, we got to make up our minds here. Is COVID real or is it not? We can't say it's not real and then ridicule Joe Biden when he says it's over. I remember back when Obama was president, he got up in front of a room full of black people. He was at, I don't know, NAACP or some other group meeting. And he got up in front of them and said, hey, look, stop complaining, put on your work boots and get to work. And in the moment, they kind of applauded him. But later they were like, what was that all about? Stop complaining, put on your work boots and get to work. Obama sounds like a Republican. Good. Good. I think it's OK for Democrats to occasionally sound like Republicans and Republicans to occasionally sound like Democrats when it comes to telling their supporters what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. Number 10, last one for now. Third party principle. Do the job until you no longer have a burning passion for doing the job. If you are an elected official and you become disenchanted with the job after 6 months, it's not what you thought it was going to be, quit. Quit. I don't care how long it is. I don't care if you're there a week. If you don't have a burning passion to be there, quit. Now, if you're like Bernie Sanders and you still appear to have the same passion 150 years in, fine. People talk about term limits. I don't know. I just want and expect my third party candidate to keep running, keep trying to do the job as long as they have the same fight they had on day one. Once you lose it, get out and let someone else in. Don't just show up and go through the motions because you can. So that's it for now. And listen, a real legitimate third party in this country can happen. We have all kinds of caucuses in Congress. The House Freedom Caucus. Did that used to be the Tea Party? I think so, maybe. The Black Caucus, the Black People Caucus, the Problem Solvers Caucus, who never solve any problems, the Progressives. So we got caucuses. To me, the issue with all these caucuses, the issue with our two parties, is you have to be in agreement. You can't be an individual. Just ask Joe Manchin. Just ask Liz Cheney. I'm okay with individuals. I'm okay with a bunch of individuals in agreement with a set of principles. You get enough individuals to form a powerful group, like the comparison group, and people will listen. But you can't keep falling for the okey-doke. We can't keep letting them separate us on social issues, on racial issues, pit one group against another, divide and conquer. That's what they do, what they've been doing for centuries. You can't form a strong group, a strong third party, unless you are open to anyone and everyone being in the group. The butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. I don't care. I don't care what you do for a living. You don't have to be a lawyer in order to run for Congress, as far as I'm concerned. Don't have to be a man, a woman, or other. Fill in the blank, other. I don't care. Don't have to be black, white, Latino, Asian, whatever. I don't care. Principles. Do you hit the basic principles? A lot of them are just common sense. I just threw out 10 to you. I have more, and I'm sure if we put our heads together, we can come up with way more. I'll leave it to much smarter people to come up with some different principles. I didn't talk about campaign finance because I'm torn on that. Because sure, it'd be great to get the money out of politics. But would it hinder our third party candidates? It's one thing if everyone knows who you are, but what if you are the butcher, baker, or candlestick maker, but you're a great candidate? Well, how do people find out about you? If you have no money to get yourself out there, to run some ads, to get yourself in front of people, you can only knock on so many doors. So you do need to raise money. So I don't know about saying my third party candidates can't take any corporate money or can't have a super PAC. I don't know. So I didn't include any of that as a principle. Got to think these things through. That's all it takes. A little thinking and a little effort. And they won't be able to stop us. They won't be able to hold it back. Once it gets rolling, they won't be able to hold it back. Because every day you get up, you control what you do. You control what you do, how you talk to people, how you treat people. You control that. If there's something in your life you don't like, you control getting rid of it. Now, nothing happens overnight. Some things are a challenge. If you're in a bad relationship and you say, I'm not going to take this anymore, I'm going to get out of this relationship, you may not be able to do it immediately, but you control it. You have to have a plan. If you're working in a job and you say, I'm not going to be treated like this at this job anymore, you control it. It's your decision, but you got to have a plan and you got to stick with the plan and you got to fight for it and you got to work hard. Same thing with forming a third party. Got to stick with it. Got to work hard. Got to have a plan. That's all. If we do that, they won't be able to stop it. Let me leave you with this last thing. Very important. People need to realize we can turn some moderate politicians that are in Congress right now into the third party people we want them to be. But you have to reward them when they do the right thing. You have to reward them when they do the right thing. Liz Cheney's reward for doing what she's done, standing up to Donald Trump, is she's going to lose her seat. That's her reward. Adam Kinzinger, he's retiring. Both Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, Republicans who stood up to the Republican Party, stood up to the criticism, stood up to Donald Trump, should have been flooded with messages of gratitude, with money from all around the country, not just from their state, from all around the country. They should have had to beg people, stop sending me money. Please, stop sending me money. I got too much now. Because that gets noticed. That's what these politicians notice. Poll numbers and money. So if you shoot way up in the polls and you get a ton of money for doing the wrong thing, in a lot of cases, you got to make sure you reward the people who do the right thing. People keep asking the question, why won't the Republican Party stand up to Donald Trump? Why won't these Republicans denounce any of this stuff with Donald Trump? Why won't this Republican Party denounce anything about Herschel Walker? Because there's no reward for it. There's no upside to it. Tell me the upside to coming out against Donald Trump or coming out in a negative way to Herschel Walker. What's the upside? You don't get rewarded, but you get punished by your base. So what's the upside? So if you want people to do the right thing, you have to reward them when they do the right thing. Even if you don't like them, even if you disagree with them, when they do the right thing, it's the right thing, so you gotta reward them for it. That's it. I'm done. I went a little bit over yet again. I'm sorry. I get worked up, and I went too long. It happens. I hope you enjoyed it. They can't stop us. I'm telling you, if we stick together, they can't stop us. If not now, when? If not you, who? If not what? What? Look for on the website, www.thecomparisongroup.com. I will put that Greg Abbott article up. Like I said, it blew my mind. Look at me dance. Look at me dance. Look at me go. Watch this. Watch this move here. Never seen nothing like this before. Did you see that? See what I did? No? Because I'm not on YouTube. Follow me on Twitter @comparison_show. @comparison_show. Visit the website www.thecomparisongroup.com. Listen to the show on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Pandora, Podcast Addict. Anywhere you get podcasts. I'll see you next time.